Welcome to episode 219 of the Mug Podcast. Listen in as we discuss the dark and sometimes weird true stories in American politics. I'm Tina Jaramillo.
And I'm Hillary Doherty.
Hi.
Well, I was telling you before recording that I was up late last night because I was at my very first Drag Race watch party.
That sounds so exciting. And
now,
fun.
I'm fucking obsessed with Drag Race, as you know.
Yes.
And I'm obsessed with drag. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
And so our good friends.
What is there not to love about drag?
It's so fucking good. And so Justin and Nikki, our friends Justin and Nikki, invited me. They've invited me for like 6 or 7 months. I'm never able to go because I either have my kids or I have other plans or whatever. I was so fucking excited. I saw Justin at the Dolphins meeting on Wednesday. He's like, what are you doing Friday? You going to come over and watch Drag Race? I'm like, and so I brought over wine and all their friends are so fucking sweet and funny. You know, it's just so fun. But when I watch Drag Race, I usually watch it alone because, you know, and I'm screaming and whatever, gagged all the time. But to get to sit in a room with the same sort of like energy was so fucking fun. And it was a great episode, too, because next week is the finale. But this week they brought all the queens who have already been eliminated and they did a lip sync smackdown. Mm. And so they.
I love a lip sync battle.
And then there's tricks. They'll pull a wig off or something. And then this one, Megami, went very far. We were shocked because she didn't do so great on the season. And she got all the way to the last lip sync. It was fucking crazy. She was so good. So, yeah, it was amazing. And they got me. They just went to Denver, which they were raving about, Justin and Nikki, by the way, because Denver's fucking pretty awesome.
My cousin lives in Colorado, and I often think, like, that might be. And then remember our friend Ingrid.
Oh, yeah. Ingrid moved out there.
Ingrid is there, and she seems very happy.
Yeah.
And
Colorado might be. Anyway, they were raving about it.
Because there's also Bobert. Isn't she?
That's true, but you know, it just like here, you can sit, at least most of the state is
blue,
a certain way, and like
the
state legislature and the governor.
Yeah.
But they went to see one of my favorite drag queens, Jimbo, who won All Stars 8. And Jimbo is the one who does the Shirley Temple fucking tap dance.
Yeah.
I literally showed it to my boyfriend when it first came on. I showed it to him. And I peed my pants laughing in front of my boyfriend.
That's
he
true
watched
love.
Me pee my pants.
Listen, true love is when you can pee your pants in front of somebody.
From laughing.
Right.
Which is a Slater, apparently my sister and my mom and I, it's a Slater thing that you pee. We have weak
you
bladders.
Laugh when you laugh when you pee. You have children, it's worse. What do you?
That's how funny the Shirley Temple. If you've never seen Jimbo do the Shirley Temple, it's so fucking good. Anyway, they brought me back a signed poster from the Jimbo show. Yes. They gave it to me last night. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
This is the cutest thing. Sweet are they?
I love them.
I
love
sweet.
Them. But we were at a Dolphins meeting this week and
Steve
Geller was there.
Hey.
There was a couple people where I was like, and then I walked out and someone's like, I know you from that podcast. I was like,
no way.
Yeah. I was like, oh God. Because you never know. You never know. But he was giving a message. I don't know if you were listening because you were kind of sitting in the back of the room, but he's talking about climate change in Broward County.
Under Waterdale. That was the line.
He's got a lot of jokes. He's got a lot of jokes for somebody who's talking about the end of the fucking world.
Under Waterdale.
Like, invested arcs. I was like, sir, I'm dying here. What the fuck? You're hitting me in the head with a hammer and then giving me a piece of chocolate. Like, I can't do this. I don't want the chocolate. Help me. Help me. My head's bleeding.
I kind of liked Under Waterdale, though.
Yeah, of course you did. She likes to play on words.
It's a pun.
And meanwhile, I'm crying. I'm like, we're dying, Tina. And Tina's like, but wasn't that funny? No, it wasn't funny. We're going to die. He was talking about, you know, the sea level rising, of course, obviously.
And the flood zones.
I'm a mile and a half from the beach, so that's an issue for me. But I'm not near an intercoastal or canal, but they're not that far away.
It doesn't matter.
So the intercoastal rises, which is this main waterway through Fort Lauderdale and the river and the ocean, and everything starts. And he said in the next 12 years, they're going to be at the same level. So we really need to build. This is crazy.
Infrastructure is what
higher walls on the seawalls on the intercoastal. Yeah. Imagine that. Those giant walls.
They have
And we have to install these pumps. And it's going to cost $3 billion. That's Broward's bill is going to be $3 billion. But as he's talking,
Venice of America.
Yeah.
They got to protect it. What do we want?
No, and exactly. But as he was saying it, you know, I turned to Justin and I said, this is how the world's ending. Like, yeah. It will be flooded. That's what's going to happen. We've known it's coming. This is it.
It's going to be environmental disasters.
And,
yeah.
And I said, we got to get the fuck out of here. Yes. And he's like, Denver. And I was like, whatever. Let's just get the fuck out of here.
No, we have to get out.
Because I don't want beachfront property. I didn't sign up for that.
No.
And by the way, you won't be able to sell your house if you don't get out soon, right? Like within how many years?
He said 12.
Yeah. But I think it'll be more than 12. As soon as our kids are old enough, we're not that far away.
We have to get out.
As soon as these kids are 18, mommy's going to land in Denver. Come visit. Denver. I'll have a room for you. But like,
I'm like Colorado, North Carolina.
North Carolina is my first choice. I want to be near my sister, to be honest with you. And so I'd love
my
that.
My husband really loves North Carolina. Yeah. So I'm like,
Asheville is beautiful. Yeah. I have another friend moving to Asheville. Yeah. She's put her house on the market last
week.
And
then I have another friend that's like close by there. So I'm like, that could be cool. Michigan could be cool because you're by those Great Lakes and you get that fresh water.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so it's like you got to think about like, where are you going to have access to water? Where is going to be the most protected?
I wonder, I got to look
into this. Water's going to become such a commodity. I mean,
yeah.
And it's talk about environmental stuff. Like the thing that's happening right now in the Keys with
the coral.
Well, not only the coral, the fish, the sea life.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They're spinning in circles. They're spinning in circles.
Listen, there's so many
and there's like these weird things. And it was this one dude was like, why are these fish swimming? And like they're like, they can't move normally.
No, they've,
and it's
the
like
water's
sharks,
polluted.
It's the pollution and it's the corals. And they think
the heat,
it might even be the opiates and the pharmaceuticals that have like seeped into our water. And then the other thing is like, what do they call it? The forever chemicals. So like there's these things called forever chemicals, right? That are in your nonstick pans, that in dental floss, in all of the shit that we use every day. And they're forever chemicals. And they're now, they say 98% of Americans have it in our blood. These forever chemicals, the microplastics.
Mm.
And that's why they're seeing like all of this, like the rise of like these cancers and all of this stuff. Like we are fucking doomed.
We're on the way. Listen,
we're doomed.
And I don't want to sound like a crazy person's on the corner being like, the end is near.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Put
and
the
so
bell.
Like listening to an listening to an elected official talk about what we need to do to keep our world from flooding is so like we are at this
we're
is
at
now,
the
we're
precipice.
Past,
yeah.
We're past it. It's not gonna happen. We are now at the doorstep of what's coming next. And it's fucking scary. That's really, really scary. Especially because we had a governor, Rick Scott, 12 years ago, who said, or maybe 10 years ago,
the
said
they
banned the climate change. She couldn't mention it in his state cabinet, in the state government.
None of the sciences.
Those words were banned, literally banned the words climate change. And DeSantis has done this, has continued this.
Can you imagine if you have a gag order on climate change? Like what?
In a world, in a state that's 75% surrounded by water.
Oh my God. I just.
Girl. All right. Well, anyway, but let me say this. I was Steve Geller. I was very impressed with what all the things that he was saying, the things that he's doing to try to help Broward County. He said, this is the last time he's running. I don't know if he's termed out. They don't really have terms, but I think he said it's the last time he's running.
Oh,
so,
all right, well,
that's that. And also Marie Woodson was there, who I didn't get to say hello to, but I know she wanted to say hi to me, but I love her. She's so
lovely.
Fucking good. Representative Marie Woodson.
It's just everyone loves hearing her speak. Like she's just incredible.
And you know, I love when she's, she always roots for the people that we love.
Yes.
And I love that about her.
Yes.
All right. Well, OJ died. So,
oh, thank God.
Rest in hell, motherfucker. The People versus OJ Simpson. Go watch that.
Go watch it.
It's incredible.
I've been watching OJ stuff. I forget what happened recently that my son mentioned something and I was like, dude, you gotta watch, and we had this whole conversation about LA, the cops, Rodney King, there was so much surrounding.
They used that racial tension.
That trial and that, you know, if that would have taken any other place, any other state, any other time, I think the results would have been different.
This kind of touches on my story today, but go ahead.
It was very, you know, obvious when you go back and you realize that there's all of these like 911 tapes that she had put a letter in a safe saying if anything happens to me, it's him.
But the evidence, the blood evidence against him too.
Everything.
It was in his room. Their blood was in his bedroom at his house that wasn't in that house.
Right. Like,
wherever he was living, their blood was fucking there.
Yeah. And like the cops just messed up the chain of
the change of command, the command for the
evidence. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, you know, and that screwed up the case, and then the stupid glove, and like everything was a spectacle, and it was televised. Maybe if it wasn't televised, like, you know, there's all of these different things.
Not with that judge. He wanted to be a star. Lance Ito.
Oh God, Lance Ito.
Anyway, it's funny because I saw so many clips of like, or tweets that were saying, you don't understand. They had TV. They pulled TVs out in my high school so we could watch it.
Yeah.
Same at mine. Yeah, I will never forget walking down the hallway after that verdict, and all the black kids were cheering and all the white kids were like, what the fuck? That's real. That was real too. And also, here's another, when you mentioned your son, it reminded me that both my kids know O.J. Simpson and murder. Like, yes. They know that whole thing without me ever telling them. This was recent, a few months ago.
Yeah.
They said something about, well, O.J. did it. And I was like, wait, what? How do you even know anything about that 30 years ago? It's crazy.
Yeah. And I think he died of prostate cancer and, you know, fuck cancer, but
I hope it was painful. You know,
this is a person who, didn't he put out an April Fool's? Girl, didn't he do an April Fool's where he was like, I did it, hashtag April Fool's?
He did too much with these jokes.
You know, it's like, dude, like, these are people's families, and like, I know you're desperate for attention because you were like this star, but no bueno.
He always did that. He did like too much. Remember, he wrote the book, If I Did It, This Is How I Would Have Done
It. Oh, I read it.
Yeah, like, it's crazy.
It came out, it was like bootlegged, and someone sent me a PDF of it like during that time, and I was like, let me read this. And I was like, oh yeah, no, this guy.
No.
Outrageous.
It's shameful. There's no shame.
Outrageous.
You know, but then his whole life spiraled out of control, as it should. That's the karma that you get from that, you know? And he died in debt. He owed the family of
the Goldmans.
Yeah, the Goldman. He owed them like hundreds of millions of dollars from the civil suit where he was found guilty.
Yeah. They'll never see that.
Anyway, bye.
Yeah. And I think for them, it wasn't so much about the money, but just to have it on the record, like that he is guilty.
Well, and that affects anything he does financially.
Yeah.
No loans, nothing, you know, look at what Trump's, ooh, girl, Trump, girl, what's going on with that? So in his civil case that was against him that he lost in New York for fraud, they have a $400 million
can you imagine
judgment
that,
against
that,
him.
That money, $400 million.
I would die.
I would be stressed out if it was $4,000.
No, yeah. $400. You know, I'd be like, I can't part with $400.
I know.
Like, no. $400 million.
$400 million.
He walks around like, he's going into Chick-fil-A, going to buy everybody fucking lunch. Oh my God. This fucking prick.
This guy.
The judge reduced it because there's no way he could come up with it. So the judge reduced
it. But they don't reduce it for anybody else in the world. I hate
two separate laws. There's two separate courts for rich people and the rest of us.
I'm sick of our capitalistic world that we favor. We curry favor with rich people. And most rich people are rich because they're corrupt.
Well, here's the best part. They reduced it to $175 million. He still couldn't come up with it.
Yeah, because he's broke. Yeah, go sell some more Bibles.
Ooh, girl, these Bibles. So this fucking fool gets one of his bozo supporters, some, you know, fly-by-the-night insurance company.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's like, I'll put your bond up because nobody would give him a bond.
Oh,
no
what
bank,
an asshole.
No
what
insurance
an
company
that is like
would give
do
him,
this for
him. Wouldn't even give him 175. That's how basically fucking worthless he is. Yeah. By the way, his stock is plummeting for that.
Oh, thank
that,
God.
That social media site's been plummeting. I guess that people bought I don't understand the stock market, but they bought a lot of shares and then they sold them off really quickly, or they held on to them until while they were still high. And then they all sold it. So it started to go down.
Good. Yeah.
So all that money he was expecting in a few months isn't coming. But the insurance company said, I'll put this money up, this $175. I'll get a bond for you. This guy's not qualifying for a bond. So
please take the property.
To seize his properties are going to happen soon.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. You know what would be fun, though? Because when they seize the property, isn't it where they do like those public auctions and you can like walk through?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love if Mar-a-Lago got freaking seized and they had to do a public auction and we got to walk through Mar-a-Lago and like just see just all the crap and like tacky shit of this guy. And I would do it. I would want to walk around and see everything being taken and people bidding on piles of sunglasses and whatever stupid shit he has around that place, you know?
By the way,
I would love it.
He put out a video about his abortion message now, which, by the way, it's like he won't commit.
He's flip-flop.
He won't commit to, yeah, because it's so unpopular. Abortion is the issue, and it will be the issue, and I hope Democrats start taking that really seriously.
And he's like, well, what we did is we made it a state's issue, but it's like, dude.
He will not say national ban, but we all know that's what he'll do, right? But in the video, he was so fucking orange. I don't understand what the fuck is going on here.
I don't know.
Is it bad lighting? Is it he put too much bronzer on before he went up?
No, maybe he eats. Remember when you have the baby and they're like, if you give your baby too many sweet potatoes, like their skin is going to turn orange.
He's a giant sweet potato baby.
Maybe he's a sweet potato baby, and maybe someone is just feeding him sweet potatoes and he's eating baby food, and this is what happened. But no one wants to.
You just wrote. A great skit. He's in a diaper. He's got a bib and a fucking bonnet.
And they're feeding him sweet potatoes. Melania's
like,
orange.
Open up, Dun Dun. Whatever. Like, gives him the fucking little, you know, but the spoon's really small still. It's like a teaspoon or whatever. Yeah.
That's why he's orange. His pediatrician didn't warn him.
He likes those sweet potatoes. It's the only thing he'll eat, Doc. I don't know what to do. Ugh. Oh, anyway, abortion was a huge issue again this week, and Arizona.
Oh God!
Because the Arizona Supreme Court said it in black and white, because there is no more Roe v. Wade, which was a national blanket of abortion rights, because that doesn't exist anymore, which Trump is owning. Trump did that, right?
Yeah.
Because of that, Arizona can now go back to a law that's on their books. From 1864, before we knew that we had to pasteurize milk.
Yeah.
Right? that a pedophile came up with.
Yeah, that a dude that was known for liking young girls.
He married a 15-year-old.
And a 13-year-old.
I don't know if he's on your list, but I figured one of us was going to do that.
I didn't do it today. He's not on my list, but
he should be on a list. Anyway, this guy was responsible for a law that's nearly all abortion ban.
Yeah.
Okay. And it is, again, we are going to see Republicans don't buy into their bullshit. The ones that aren't super Christian, right? Like Mike Johnson will always be against abortions and he will never change his wording on that. But people like Trump opportunists and Carrie Lake, who's now running for senator there,
but
they will 100% flip flop on this issue, which I'll play you a video about Carrie Lake doing that. But
this Arizona Senate, the day before the Supreme Court came out with their ruling, the state Supreme Court, they wanted to have a prayer circle, and they were speaking in tongues on the Senate floor in Arizona.
What? Are you fucking kidding
me? In a circle.
What?
And they're yes. What? There's a video of it. I'll send you the video.
Arizona.
Like,
I have never had to yell at you before, but I'm going to yell at you now. What are you doing? What if that was one of your reps?
I would lose my mind.
That's crazy.
It was like a super conservative Christian nationalist.
This is
it. We know where we are. We are in a battle between democracy and Christian nationalists taking over this country.
It's so crazy.
This is where we are.
Yeah.
Women, listen, do not believe these men.
Girl.
These people better wake up. Arizona needs to wake up. Alabama needs to wake up. Florida needs to wake up. Tennessee. It's state after state, and we got to get out.
The world is about to flood, and these motherfuckers are faking, speaking in tongues on their elected officials in Arizona speaking in tongues.
Speaking in tongues.
Girl,
separation,
we got problems.
Separation of church and state.
You can't get through to people like this. You can't.
No.
They're gone. Oh, I have suggestions on how to deal with them, but they're probably very illegal.
Probably.
It's abortion.
You know what I want?
Can you abort a 45-year-old?
What about a national? What about a national religious ban?
Ooh,
what about that?
It's so hot. That's hot. I need.
People. I think practice what you want to practice, man. But like, leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Do it in your
all
own
life. Of this. Oh, there is a wonderful. Like the where they read the letters out loud. You know that they go on stage. Oh, I'll have to send it to you. You know what I'm talking about.
Not really, but like a poetry thing?
No, it's live letters and it's like different actors. Oh, it's funny. So there's all different actors that go on and some of them are really funny because they read letters like that someone writes to like a manufacturing company or, but they did one where this lady writes and she's just citing all of this stuff from the Bible. It's so good. I'll send it to you later.
All right.
But live letters is great. You would love it.
All right.
Because it's actors that you love and it's so good.
Okay. Hold on. I want to.
Oh yeah.
I want to play this video and I think did I just lose it? How could that be? This is Carrie Lake in the beginning. This is from MSNBC Morning Joe. I'll send you the video. Maybe we can put it in. It's a minute and 28 seconds. That's okay, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, in the beginning you hear Carrie Lake who was running for governor in Arizona and she lost and now she's running for the seats. Kristen Sinema. You know, I don't know if we were talking about that, but she peaced out.
Yeah.
And so Carrie Lake is now running for that seat. She's a huge Trumper. And this is just an example of one Republican out of many that will be flip-flopping. Whatever she says here at the end, she doesn't really mean that.
It's not true. Yeah.
All right, let's go. Let's listen to this wino.
I don't believe in abortion. I think the older law is going to go into effect. That's what I believe will happen. I don't think abortion pills should be legal. We have a great law on the books right now. If that happens, we will be a state where we will not be taking the lives of our unborn anymore.
I'm incredibly thrilled that we are going to have a great law that's already on the books. So it will prohibit abortion in Arizona. And I think we're going to be paving the way and setting course for other states to follow.
This total ban on abortion that the Arizona Supreme Court just ruled on is out of line with where the people of this state are. The issue
is
less about banning abortion and more about saving babies. I agree with President Trump. This is such a personal and private issue. I chose life, but I'm not every woman. I want to make sure that every woman who finds herself pregnant has more choices so that she can make that choice that I made.
But the choice that you made was life.
Shocking.
Right?
Shocking.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. When she says more choices, she doesn't say abortion as a choice, by the way. She never says that. They'll never catch her on that.
No, no.
This is the kind of horseshit we better start fucking calling out. Because these motherfuckers are not for us.
No. Nope.
They're not for us. And Trump and that dumb bitch, they're reading the polls. Abortion, give me a fucking break. Nobody likes what you're doing, and they know it. They know it. He's not going to come out and say a national abortion ban, but when Mike Johnson puts that motherfucking thing on his desk, he will sign it.
He will sign it. Whew.
All right. Do you have another thing?
No.
Okay. My last thing is that this is just so funny. I don't know if you're going to find this funny, but I could not stop fucking laughing. A friend of mine was talking about how she has teenage kids, twins, and she dropped them off at Tortuga Festival, which is on the beach. It's a big music festival down there. And I was like, wow, I can't believe, you know, she's like, yeah. I was like, were their parents there? She was like, yeah, one of those moms was there. You know, one of those slut moms.
Girl, what does that mean?
I don't know, but I started laughing so fucking hard.
Wait,
because
what does that mean?
But I knew exactly. You don't know what that means when someone says slut mom? You know.
Just sloppy, like.
You know.
Like,
you know, she's
two party, little party.
Yeah,
party.
A little bit too much.
Wow.
She said slut mom and I'm like, say no more. I know exactly what you're saying. That to me is so fucking crazy.
I can see it.
You can see it. Yeah. I closed my eyes and I was like, oh no.
I can see the outfit.
No more words needed. I got it. I got what you're saying. And slut is not it's a term of endearment, I feel like. But it's a descriptive.
We can own that. We can own that.
Listen. I wonder if anybody says that about me. Am I a
slut
mom?
No, you are so not a slut mom.
That's hurting my feelings. I really wanted to be a slut
mom. Oh, you
mom.
Wanted to be one? No, oh, God kidding. Damn it. I have a whole different image of mine than you. So,
oh, my God. It's so fucking funny. Okay. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay. So today we're going to talk about the murder of Arthur McDuffie and the 1980 Miami riots.
Oh,
did you know about these riots in Miami?
1980s? Tell me, because it doesn't ring a bell, but I don't know.
Let's do it. So in the early morning hours of December 17th, 1979, a group of six white police officers stopped 33-year-old Arthur McDuffie, who was riding a black and orange 1973 Kawasaki Z1 motorcycle. And McDuffie was a black father of three and a former U.S. Marine. He had some tickets and some, you know, unpaid parking tickets, but there wasn't anything.
It's Miami, man. Where are you parking?
Yeah. And I think maybe from that his license was suspended, but still, like, there's no, you know. But we don't really need a big reason, right? No. According to the initial police report, he had led the police on an 8-minute high-speed chase through residential streets at speeds of over 80 miles per hour. In that initial report, four of the officers involved in the chase claimed McDuffie had run a red light or stop sign and subsequently led police on this 8-minute chase.
A stop sign? Well, he was maybe worried. I have this, like, suspended license.
I think that's probably what was happening. So Sergeant Herbert Evans, who was not on the scene, added to the report that McDuffie had lost control of his motorcycle while making a left turn. And according to Officer Charles Viverka, McDuffie subsequently struck his head on the ground, after which he attempted to flee on foot. Okay. The officers caught him and a beating ensued, in which McDuffie allegedly kicked Sergeant Ira Diggs, who wrote in his report that, quote, the subject was observed to be fighting violently, end quote. So McDuffie was transported to a nearby hospital where he died 4 days later of his injuries. McDuffie's ex-wife, who they were planning to get remarried on February 7th, 1980, was on duty as a nurse's aide when he was transported to Jackson Memorial Hospital.
Oh, no.
Do you imagine? The coroner's report concluded that he had suffered multiple skull fractures, one of which was 10 inches long. The medical examiner, Dr. Ronald Wright, said...
For running a stop sign?
Girl. The medical examiner, Dr. Ronald Wright, said McDuffie's injuries were not consistent with a motorcycle crash and that if McDuffie had fallen off the motorcycle, as the police claimed, it did not make sense that it's gout... Its gauges would be broken of the motorcycle. The motorcycle's gauges were broken. Wright said that it seemed that he had been beaten to death. So they have to call in because the police are involved.
I wonder if he stopped and they said that he fell.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Maybe he stopped for them and they just started harassing. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, we're going to find out. So they, because the police are involved, they have to do their own investigation. So Captain Marshall Frank did an investigation and Officer Viverka made a sworn statement on December 26th that he lied in the initial report. And according to his statement, after McDuffie stopped, Viverka pulled him off his motorcycle and McDuffie responded by taking a swing at Viverka. More officers arrived shortly afterward and according to Viverka, 6 to 8 of them began beating McDuffie with nightsticks and heavy Kel Light flashlights. You know those police flashlights?
That are really
Viverka said he tried to pull McDuffie out of the beating, but was unable to.
Oh my
Captain Marshall Frank investigated the cover-up and made a sworn affidavit, which led to criminal charges against 4 officers.
Okay.
Officer William Hanlon later testified that he had choked McDuffie to the ground with his nightstick before he managed to handcuff McDuffie. Hanlon testified.
He's handcuffed and they're still beating him.
Yes.
Okay.
Hanlon testified that after McDuffie was restrained, Officer Alex Marrero struck McDuffie on the head with Marrero's Kel Light, quote, at least 3 times. It was very strong and very powerful blows. His entire face was covered with blood, end quote. Because McDuffie's injuries were so severe, the officers on the scene decided that they needed to cover it up.
Wow, right? You think?
Like, wow, we're all going to get in trouble now because this guy's gone the fuck off.
Yeah, how about you just treat people humanely?
Yeah.
And not beat the shit out of them as a cop.
Yeah.
How about that?
How about that? The first thing they did was run over McDuffie's motorcycle. So it looked like it had crashed and that's how he got injured.
Wow.
Now also like the balls of like doing this in public where people can see you getting in your cop car and running the motorcycle over is crazy.
It's crazy.
And arrogant. Like they think that they're not going to get in trouble for this.
And you know, your job is to protect people.
Mm.
Your job is to make sure people are safe, regardless of what kind of criminal they are. And you're now participating in a criminal cover-up?
What? It's crazy. During Frank's investigation, Officer Hanlon added he was the officer who had driven over McDuffie's motorcycle. Hanlon also gouged the pavement with a tire iron to simulate skid marks and threw McDuffie's watch into the gutter. Officer Mark Meyer testified the high-speed chase had slowed to 25 miles per hour when McDuffie shouted, "I give up," and stopped. Meyer said that between 3 and 8 officers then surrounded McDuffie, pulled off his helmet, and proceeded to beat him with nightsticks. He said that the officers struck him at least twice. By the end of the struggle, the officers had, in the words of the medical examiner, Dr. Ronald Wright, cracked McDuffie's skull, quote, like an egg, using, quote, long, heavy, blunt objects. Oh. This was a melee, end quote. Okay, so the trial.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
The acting director of the Dade County Public Safety Department, Bobby Jones, suspended 3 officers on December 27th. Jones said that since 1973, the 4 accused of manslaughter, right, these 4 officers, have been cited in 47 citizen complaints and 13 internal affairs probes.
Why?
Also, remember,
how many times can you have complaints on you before you lose your job?
But also, this is the time when Miami's about to get crazy with drugs and all, and the murder. Remember the just constant killings in the streets, and like maybe officers
and like the smash and grabs.
Maybe
and
they
like,
let shit go because they needed officers. I don't know.
Who knows? But
crazy.
It's not an excuse. Like
no,
Diggs set a precedent.
Yeah,
get rid of that guy, and then they know. Oh shit, I can't do that.
Yeah. Diggs, Hanlon, Marrero, and Watts were charged with manslaughter and tampering with physical evidence on December 28th. Evans was charged with being an accessory after the fact, and 4 other officers were suspended with pay.
Why is it manslaughter and not murder? I always forget the difference.
I think that manslaughter, it's not planned. Maybe it wasn't planned.
Because I thought there's first, second, and third degree murder.
Like they were beating him, but and I don't think like they second meant to, and third, to kill him.
Oh, okay.
You know what
so
I mean?
Then that's
murder is like you're planning
like you want to kill them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Marrero was charged with second degree murder on February 1st, 1980. Ubaldi Del Toro was charged later with being an accessory to the crime, as well as fabricating evidence. Neither Evans or Del Toro were involved in the stop. So this is afterwards. They maybe so in just, the station were in. Doing reports. Who knows? Who the fuck knows? Another officer was charged with tampering with evidence. The 8 officers involved were all dismissed from the force, and 5 of them would go on to stand trial in March 1980 on various charges. So Ira Diggs was charged with manslaughter, aggravated battery, tampering with evidence, being accessory after the fact. Herbert Evans was tampering with evidence and being accessory after the fact. Alex Marrero was the one who came in with the flashlight. He got second degree murder and aggravated battery.
Because I think second degree is like you're going in with the intent, but you didn't plan. Like first degree is like you planned it.
Yeah.
Second and third degree, I forget what the difference is, but that's crazy.
Ubaldo Del Toro, tampering with evidence and being accessory after the fact. And Michael Watts, manslaughter and aggravated battery. So William Hanlon, Mark Meyer, and Charles Vavirka were all given immunity so they would testify.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
Vavirka was like one of the main dudes.
Yeah. He was the one who like initially got there and pulled him off the bike. Because of the volatile atmosphere in Miami, which presiding Judge Lenore Carrero Nesbitt had termed, quote, a time bomb, the trial was shifted to Tampa. Jury selection began on March 31st, 1980. The lead prosecutor of the case was Janet Reno.
Wow.
Later U.S. Attorney General during the Clinton presidency.
Yeah.
The defense said that the police were violently attacked by McDuffie, an ex-Marine they called a karate expert.
Oh my God. That dude, only it's one dude and there's 8 of you.
Yeah. What is he fucking what's his name?
Ralph Macchio. That's what I'm thinking of. Karate Kid.
I was thinking of the other guy.
Johnny.
No, what's the guy who
Sensei?
No, not even Karate Kid.
Oh, not Karate Kid.
I was thinking of Bruce Lee.
You're thinking of someone real.
Yeah, a real karate
You're thinking
guy.
Of a real person.
But Ralph Macchio.
Yeah,
karate
no.
Kid.
Karate Kid.
That would be
I
fucking hilarious.
I forget what his name is in the show. Daniel. Daniel something.
Daniel Sun.
Yeah, Daniel Sun.
Oh, girl. God, that's so fucking funny.
Oh, my God.
Karate Kid. Ralph Macchio. Anyway. Oh, my God. And they only use necessary force when used to subdue him. So the chief assistant state attorney disagreed. He said, quote, somebody beat this man's brains in, end quote. The defense also attacked the credibility of the 3 witnesses, Vavirka, Meyer, and Hanlon, who had the immunity, in exchange for their testimony. And in her instructions to the jury, Judge Nesbitt said, quote, a witness who realizes he must procure his own freedom by incriminating others has a motive to falsify, end quote.
Oh, shit. So now what?
Like, how do you say that to a jury? Yeah, doesn't that fuck with the case?
Well, no, that's telling the jury.
I mean, it's
like,
true.
Yeah, but that's telling the jury you can't believe anything this guy says.
Right. So then
and
what
that
the
would
fuck?
Be something that I would think, like, the defense would say, but not the judge.
Yeah. Like on the stand, oh, well, you got immunity, so you're going to be able to, why would we believe anything that you say, right? Like, why would the judge say that?
Yeah, that's weird.
Girl. Hanlon was the only defendant to take the stand. After their testimony, Marrero was given a new charge of second degree murder. So Hanlon was charged with felonies while Viverka was charged with a civil rights violation. This is like afterwards, right? On April 25th, Officer Mark Meyer was given the immunity. On May 8th, Del Toro was acquitted on a directed verdict after the prosecution rested. So that means that the judge Nesbitt said that they had failed to prove its case against him.
Wow.
So he's acquitted.
So one guy's done.
He's done. 9 days later, the all-white 6-man jury acquitted the remaining officers.
Oh, of course.
Diggs, Watts, Viverka, Evans, on all counts of the indictment after less than 3 hours of deliberation.
Wow.
Because of inconsistent witness testimony is what they said. One juror called McDuffie's death a tragedy, but felt, quote, the Dade County Public Safety Department and the state attorney's office were in such a hurry to appease everybody, they blew their case, end quote. So it's their fault.
There's a dead man.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
how did they live with themselves?
Girl. So that all happened on May 17th. That night, the May 17th verdict resulted in protests in the Miami streets. That night, approximately 5,000 people attended a protest at the downtown Miami Metro Justice Building. But then it turns into a riot that lasts for days.
By
6 p.m. that night, the protests had turned into a riot. While driving home after a day of fishing, 3 white men were dragged from their car and beaten to death in Northwestern Miami. A butcher driving home from work that night was ambushed by a stone-throwing mob. He drove into a wall while trying to get away, and the crowd set his car on fire, burning him to death inside.
Oh, no.
Holy shit.
In other incidents
that night, at least 23 were injured, some critically. The driver of a car with 3 white people lost control after it was surrounded and stoned. After the car struck and injured 2 black pedestrians, the occupants were pulled out and beaten, and one of the men in the car would die from his injuries 26 days later. So Florida Governor Bob Graham ordered 500 National Guard troops into the area. Despite his doubling their number, the next day the riot continued. 12 more people were killed. And 165 injured as violence spread to the Black Grove, Overtown, Liberty City, and Brownsville sections of the city. In one incident, a black man who had driven to a convenience store was shot in the chest with a shotgun from a passing truck while his family was in the car with him. He was just going to the store. And there's just people out shooting. In addition, fires, burglaries, and looting increased, with police reluctant to enter some areas for fear of sniper fire. Wow. This is what, like, civil war... This sounds like civil war to me.
Yeah.
Like, but what we think is coming.
I mean, and this is terrible, but, you know, the same thing that, you know, happened in LA in the 90s, right. You have these racial tensions and you have people who maybe feel like this is our only way to react to our constant being killed. And I don't think any of those other innocent people who died during this should have died. But, like, we have to understand, like, the root cause of what would compel a community to react this way, man.
I could see this happening today. I don't feel like every time you see these white, there's very, very, very rarely are these white officers held accountable.
No.
Very rarely.
Well, and now our wonderful DeSantis has passed that new law, because, you know, in certain cities in Florida, Fort Lauderdale being one of them, there's like a civilian oversight board to keep with transparency and making sure like things are, you know, on the up and up with the police department, and now that's gone, you know, because we don't need oversight.
Yeah, who needs that? By the third day, the violence declined as the city imposed a curfew from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., coupled with a temporary ban on the sale of firearms and liquor. It's always funny, these curfews, to me. Yeah. And they work. They work. They tell people you can't be out. You're going to get arrested. Governor Graham sent in 2,500 National Guardsmen in addition to the 1,000 that were already in the city. Local police barricaded parts of Coconut Grove to warn motorists away from the area, as drivers had reported having rocks thrown at them. Coconut Grove is Richie Rich.
Yeah.
The city came to a standstill, basically.
Wow.
Reports of sniper fire at freeway drivers also stopped traffic until the military could restore order. In total, 18 people were killed over the 3 days of rioting, while 370 people, some of them children, were hurt, and 787 people were arrested.
Holy shit.
Property destruction exceeded $100 million. I mean, people lost their businesses.
And
they
that's
were setting
like
buildings
1980.
On fire.
Like, imagine what that... Wow.
People had businesses down there that were...
Just destroyed.
Completely, yeah. So, the aftermath. The federal government declared Miami a disaster area and authorized the release of funds to allow the city to rebuild. I mean, if you look at the pictures, which I put some in our notes, like, you'll see the fires, but also you just see, like, buildings. Just it looked like a war zone. Like, what you see, like, Ukraine now. You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
Okay, so... Days after the verdict, the U.S. Justice Department, so federal level, said it would seek indictment on the policemen for federal civil rights violations.
Oh, okay.
On July 28, 1980, a federal grand jury indicted Charles Vavrka, despite his having received immunity from the original charges.
Oh, that's a state.
And filed by the state during the first trial. The federal trial was held in San Antonio, Texas. It had moved from Miami to Atlanta and then to New Orleans, like each city. We're like, no, because these the racial aspects, Atlanta and New Orleans. What are you fucking nuts? And these cities were like, we don't want a repeat of what happened in Miami fucking happened.
Which
here.
Makes sense. Like, who would want that?
Yeah. On December 17th, Vavrka was acquitted in the week-long trial after the jury deliberated for more than 16 hours. The jury foreman cited Vavrka's voluntary sworn statement contradicting initial police reports as the biggest factor in the acquittal, meaning he... They lied in the initial report, but then he came back and said, okay, when Captain Frank did his investigation, okay, well, here's what really happened. Oh, well, now he did tell the truth eventually, so he shouldn't be held accountable now.
Oh, okay.
Minor incidents of violence were reported in Miami after the verdict was announced. Vavrka's attorney, Dennis Dean, predicted that no further indictments would be coming forthcoming from the case, and none were issued. Like, nobody else was held accountable for this.
Must be nice. Can you imagine, like, living
a
life where, like, you never have to be held accountable for what you do? I mean, we've talked about it before, but, man, white men.
But, yeah, but also, like, how long could this have gone on for? Let's say it went on for 10 minutes, which does seem like maybe at the time when you're in it,
longer.
But 10 minutes
is still a long time.
Yeah, but it's in those 10 minutes, you don't, in no way does your brain
say
click
that this
that
is
what
wrong.
What you're looking at is so fucked and you don't stop it. Like, that's the part that I don't understand.
Right. There's eight of you. Like, one guy wants to be
not
an
one
asshole.
One of you does that.
Pull him off.
And then go along with running over a motorcycle, covering each other's asses in broad daylight. Like, by the way, in public. Like, you don't think they're not going to believe witnesses over you? It's so fucking insane. It's so insane. And then his beating doesn't match what you're actually putting in your report. You don't think a medical examiner, like, the fact that there was just one huge, ridiculous mistake after the other that is planned out by ego, pride, arrogance, you know? The fuck out of here. On November 17th, 1981, Dade County commissioners agreed to a $1.1 million settlement with McDuffie's family in exchange for their dropping a $25 million civil suit against the county. That, I'm sorry, no.
What?
You give them the 25 fucking million. Are you kidding me? Of that amount, the family's legal team received $483,000. So McDuffie's two children received $202,500, and his mother received $67,500.
Oh, but the lawyers get the
almost half.
This is disgusting.
You know what? Give them the 20. How do you settle for 1 point? What kind of a lawyer is that?
I know.
Get the fuck out of here. And by the way, $25 million is not a lot in 1980. It's not. 1.1 is not a lot in 1980.
No.
This woman, her son was 33 years old. Ugh. He had a good another 40 years to live that she could have been a part of his life.
His children.
The fuck out of here.
For running a red light. For like... And you know they targeted him. But if it would have been anyone else that would have went through that stop sign, they probably would have let it go. But because it was probably a black man on a motorcycle, they want to see what's up.
So a little bit about these officers. Herbert Evans earned a master's degree from the University of Miami and stated he may apply to law school because they're all out. They're not cops anymore. In the immediate aftermath of the trial, William Hanlon worked part-time as a chauffeur and real estate agent. April 20th, 2006, Hanlon, who had trained as a lawyer, was permanently denied admittance to the bar by Florida State Supreme Court.
Good. I hope your student loans are piled up.
Mm. That reminds me. Have you watched that movie, The Menu?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do you remember the part where the girl's like, he's looking around the room and this one, and the girl who's like the assistant to John Leguizamo was like, please, can I leave? And he's like, did you go to college? And she said, yeah. He goes, where'd you go? She said, Brown. He said, student loans? And she said, no. And he goes, you're dying.
Yeah.
You're dying.
Yeah.
You're dead. Yeah. No, you're dying. Sorry, you're dying. Alex Marrero's wife petitioned for divorce the day after the acquittal. Marrero became a private detective and was later indicted for conspiracy to distribute cocaine and commit bribery in 1989.
Wow.
Mark Meyer worked as a security guard. Eric Simon, who was another one that was involved in like the office, you know, cover up, was never charged criminally, but was dismissed from the police for complicity with the cover up. Charles Viverka resumed his job as a security guard after his December 1980 acquittal on the charges. And he had violated McDuffie's civil rights, you know, after that. On May 22nd, 1980, Michael Watts was rushed to the hospital after attempting to commit suicide by breathing carbon monoxide. So this is right after they were all, May 1980s, yeah. They had all gotten acquitted by breathing the carbon monoxide. The police said that his attempt was related to a romantic breakup and not his trial.
Oh. But, wow, dude.
As long as that's sitting on your conscience, yeah, so I sorry mean, about your romantic breakup.
Yeah. Wow.
Arthur McDuffie's never going home, but boo-hoo on Valentine's Day, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I found this story because it was recently in the news here. Miami-Dade County unveiled a historical marker on February 24th, 2024 in remembrance of Arthur Lee McDuffie.
Aww.
The marker is located at 3800 North Miami Avenue, and it describes McDuffie's death at the hands of the police and the riots that followed after an all-white jury acquitted these officers. Presiding over the ceremony were County Mayor Daniela Levine Cava and Commissioner Keon Hardiman. McDuffie's children, Mark and Dewana McDuffie, spoke about their father's legacy and his lasting impact on Liberty City.
Oh, my God.
I know. Not that long ago, either.
No.
And I feel like we're not better.
We're not better.
I mean, 2020, that whole summer,
yeah,
really can remind you of that, you know? George Floyd, it's enough. It's enough. So, sorry about the downer.
Yeah.
You got even watching any shows or anything or?
I started watching Ripley.
Oh, what do you think?
Okay, so I'm a huge fan of the original movie.
I've heard some people talk about it, so I'd like to hear what you think. I wasn't that big of a fan of the movie. I mean,
I
think I'd have to rewatch it.
Oh, I've seen it so many times.
Yeah, I have.
I loved, you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, no.
And,
yeah.
You know, you got Matt Damon.
Is he the one who's suspicious of him the whole time?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And so in that movie, they really, it's a little faster paced. They really kind of play up Dickie as like this sort of playboy kind of, you know, fun loving dude. And in this one, it really takes on a very slow pace.
Yes, that's what I heard.
Pace.
Like I heard someone talk about the first episode. They're like, can we fucking get to it
already?
Yeah,
it's like deliberately slow. It's like really building up like who, you know, Tom Ripley is.
Mm-hmm.
And even like with the encounters with Dickie, like Dickie doesn't come off as playboyish as he does in the, I mean, he comes off as, you know, sort of this entitled rich dude. But he doesn't come off, I think, it comes off in a very different way. And the sort of climactic scene of the movie happens kind of early on.
Mm.
So I'm curious to see where the rest of it goes. And Dakota Fanning plays Marge. And it's just so weird seeing this actress that you knew as like this little kid actress.
Yeah.
But she's pretty good. But it is a very slow pace. But if you kind of like that kind of old school, kind of gives me like a old noir vibe like slow. And
that's
like
how Hitchcock's, I feel like Hitchcock stuff was like that.
You know, so I kind of like that. So I don't mind it. But a lot of people, I think it's boring. And I think also because we have movies that are very like fast and flip.
Oh, that's
and
how
explosions.
Yes,
and this
I try to like, watch movies like this with my kids now. And I swear my son's like, and I'm like, listen, there's not going to be a bomb going off every second.
Yeah.
Like you have to just enjoy like older movies.
Yeah.
You know?
And
you
I
gotta
think
enjoy
it's
that,
hard for
that
people
thing.
To do.
The other thing I heard, it
but
was
I
a slow pace.
It. I
yeah,
like it.
Me too. The slow pace, but also that he was kind of the guy that was talking about on the podcast said that he's older than what you would think
Ripley
would be.
He
and
does
but so
look
they aged
little...
up the other guy too.
Yes.
Like they're like, and that kind of is off from like Andrew Scott's amazing, but like
yes.
that he's an older.
They both look older, But yeah, and again, in the movie, you have this young Matt Damon, you have a young Jude Law. I mean, Jude Law is like, was like the perfect sort of Dickie, you know, because he's just like beautiful, chiseled, like, you know what I mean? Very young. And this guy doesn't have that vibe. Like, he doesn't have that sort of like sexiness and like, you know, thing that Jude Law had.
Yeah.
He just comes, I mean, he has like the rich vibe.
Mm.
But you don't see, I guess, I think because it is so slow and their conversations are like, you don't, maybe if they were doing more fun loving things or different things, you would see some like youth. But yeah, no, I can see people saying they seem older.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't see them as super old, but I can get it. What I mean, saying.
Yeah, because they're kind of probably closer to our age.
Yeah.
How cute is Andrew Scott, though?
Adorable.
Oh,
oh, and you know who's in it? Is Sting's child.
Oh.
Yeah, who, oh, I forget their name. Oh, gosh, I forget their name, but very good.
Well, I just realized that on Hulu, they have all the SVU, Law & Order SVU.
Oh.
So I started where I feel like I left off four seasons ago, and I just got to the season where Stabler comes back.
Oh, I love Stabler. Oh,
my God.
I haven't watched that in years.
All, that actor, Christopher Maloney, he on Twitter, he's so fucking funny. And he shit talks like Republicans and like all these laws, and he's so fucking good on there. But and I know he's like goofy in real life. Yeah. So when you're back on this show and he's a very serious, like moody asshole, you know what I mean? But when they first see each other, it's so good. And there's a guy who plays Carisi on there. He was a detective who's now a like a prosecutor. This man is so fucking hot.
Oh.
Holy shit.
You'll have to show me a picture of him.
Oh my God. So fucking hot.
Okay. I'm here for it.
Hmm. His hair's getting gray. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's always kind of cute.
It is so. It's so fucking cute.
It's not on cute. Men, of course. I was going to say, not on me.
Yeah. I'm over here trying to cover up these fucking roots, honey.
God damn it.
These roots.
God damn it. I've been coloring my goddamn hair since my 20s. So my family, we go gray early. So
my mom thought that my sister and I were going to go gray because she went gray, started going gray early. But my sister and I did not have that.
Oh, I had gray hair in high school.
Holy shit.
Yeah, not a lot. But by the time I was like 23, 24, I had like a streak in the front.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah. And my little cousin who he's still in college is all salt and pepper.
Oh.
Yeah. It's just a thing with our family. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But God damn it.
What are you going to do?
Well, dye my goddamn hair. That's what I got to do.
Because my roots start to grow in. I just had my hair done, but my roots start to grow in and they're dark.
But your hair is really dark. Light. So yeah. My hair is, so I went a little lighter, slightly lighter.
I like it.
I don't know if it's too light, but because now if I do my original sort of darker color, it's so hard to keep up because before it would be, okay, I could get away with a 6-8 week, but now I'm 4 weeks, Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah. Not fair. And then I have other friends who are my age who barely have gray hair. I'm so it's something genetic. It's gotta be, you know? Because I have another cousin he's my age, but by the time he was 25 was all gray.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I was born, my birthmark is this in the back of my hair right here. I have a patch of white hair. Have you ever seen this on people where they have a white dot on their head and it's
that's so cute.
I have this little white patch of hair, but every time I would dye my hair, it doesn't matter what color, but every time I would grow back, there would be this white hair back here.
That's cute.
Just something to know about me. If you didn't know that already. I have white hair back of my head.
She's little toe. So cute. It's so cute. It's like a little mini toe head in the back.
That's right. Mini toe head. If I didn't have sweet potato baby as the title, it would be mini toe head. All right, let's get the fuck out of here.
We
got to do two episodes.
We have another episode, so
forgive us because next week
back to back. What?
We're not going to be up to date next week.
Yeah,
I hate. That's the only thing I hate about double episodes.
Yeah.
So much shit is going to happen this week, and we're not going to be talking about it.
But we can always do a pop on. Why don't we do a pop on? We got to figure it out.
I got to watch SVU. I got things to do. I gotta make pizza. Oh, I make the best pizza. Forget about it. I'm making ziti this weekend.
Are you?
For the Column Supper Club.
Yay.
I'm making
ziti. We love the Column Supper Club.
Are you bringing your kids?
Are you bringing yours?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'll bring mine.
Okay.
I guess I should ask. But I feel
I asked. I don't want to read. I don't need to get. But I always ask. I'm invited. And then I go, is it okay if I bring the kids? And Emma yells at me.
Yeah.
And then she said to me this week, she said, I know what the answer is, but I just need to be polite.
Yes.
Right? Because I feel like I'm not going to bring two extra people and whatever. And I know the answer. And I said, but please don't yell at me. And she goes, Hillary, they're always welcome. All right. Well, okay. We'll see you next week then.
All right.
Bye.
If you want to see any photos or take a deeper dive into our stories, please go to our website, www.themuckpodcast.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Muck Podcast and on our Twitter at Muck Podcast.
To support The Muck Podcast, please visit our Patreon page. We have three levels of support with exclusive content: Muckraker, Policy Wonk, or Bleeding Heart. We can't do this without you.